You're listening to the public feed of Carefree Highway Revisited, which includes only a portion of this conversation. To hear the complete discussion, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or see the show notes for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Mike. We're going to try something a little different for a few weeks here on Carefree Highway Revisited, in that we're going to break up the episodes into two parts. So the episode you're going to be hearing today will be part one of my interview with Gary Luck from Canberra, Australia. We'll be talking about Dreamland. And then next week, 1 week from now, you'll be hearing the second part of that interview. So we're going to try that for a couple of months. And if you like it, then please let me know. If you don't like it, please let me know that too. But I wanted to experiment with something after talking to a few people in my brain trust, and we'll see how it goes. Okay, on with the show. Thanks.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
Come to me in times of need when you can't find anyone. You seem to be much better off now. There's a rainbow, number one. This is Carefree Highway Revisited, the show that celebrates Gordon Lightfoot's music song by song, a proud member of the That's Not Canon podcast network. I'm your host, Mike Messner, and with me today is a fellow Lightfoot fan from Canberra, Australia, Gary Luck. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike. Thanks very much. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's good to have you. How did you first get into Gordon Lightfoot's music?
Well, it's a long time ago. I was a young man sitting on the sandhills of Port Ferry, just outside Warrnambool, in just west of Melbourne, listening to my little transistor radio, and Early Morning Rain came on. And thought, wow, I like that song. And then, would you believe, shortly after that on the same station, I think they played Four Strong Winds, which I understand Lightfoot was impressed by as well, the great Ian and Sylvia Tyson song that he then became great friends with, I think, and still is. And a couple of years passed by, and Peter Paul Mary then sang That's What You Get for Loving Me, I think. And I was under the impression then, just being a young kid who didn't know very much at all, that either Bob Dylan had written these songs for Peter Paul and Mary, or they'd written them themselves, and that I'd never really heard of Gordon Lightfoot. It wasn't really until 1969, I'm watching my little black and white television that my parents had in their place in Melbourne, and the Johnny Cash Show came on, and Lightfoot was on that singing with Johnny Cash, That's What You Get for Loving Me. And I thought, wow, so that's the singer-songwriter Gordon Lightfoot. And a couple of more years passed by, of course. We got into the early 70s and the mid-70s, and then by that time, he was making a name for himself as a real singer-songwriter and coming out with those three big hits. And by the time I'd heard If You Could Read My Mind and Sundown and, of course, the record, the Edmund Fitzgerald, I was well and truly hooked. That was it.
Oh, man, and what a great way to get hooked by listening to those songs. And it's absolutely true that the relationship between Ian and Sylvia on the one hand and then Lightfoot on the other had kind of a musical cascade in both ways. I mean, they used his songs, and then he was very impressed by their work. And I'm sure that it was inspirational to him because of all the things that he wrote that were so truly Canadian and that really represented that country so well. What do you like about Lightfoot's music, if you had to sum it up in a couple of sentences?
Oh, the fact that he uses my initials.
That's pretty flattering, I would agree.
Yeah. I'm only joking, of course. I say that sometimes at some of our concerts that we've been doing, and it goes over most people's heads. You know, I say, well, Gordon Lightfoot and I, we've got two things in common. We have the same initials. But to answer your question seriously, Mike, look, it's a total package. I just love the way he writes. You know, the melodies, the lyrics, the intonation that he uses, the meter and rhyme, and the arrangements, these wonderful arrangements that he's been able to put together with all these fabulous musicians that he's got. I mean, he really is, to me, the complete package. I just love all his songs, and it reminds me of that quote, was it Bob Dylan who said, I haven't heard a Gordon Lightfoot song yet that I don't like, and then he went on to say, whenever I hear a Gordon Lightfoot song, I wish it would never end. And I feel like that. I'm not comparing myself to Gordon Lightfoot or Bob Dylan, obviously, but that's how I feel about his music.
That's pretty high praise. I mean, the quotation from Dylan is one that I heard when I was a kid. And listening to all of the stuff that Dylan had done over the years, and then having him say that about Lightfoot, I thought, if someone as remarkable as Dylan can think that Lightfoot is remarkable, we're talking about quite a guy here.
Absolutely. And I believe that Dylan, only recently in the last few years, somebody asked him, who were his favorite songwriters? And I think he named four. And if I can remember these correctly, I think it was Randy Newman, Jimmy Buffett, John Prine, and Gordon Lightfoot. And then I got to thinking about, you know, when Dylan got the Nobel Prize for Literature, I'm thinking if they were to ever award the Nobel Prize for Literature again to a singer-songwriter, wouldn't it be great if it was Gordon Lightfoot?
Oh, I can't imagine what other singer-songwriter it would be, because of not only the endurance that he's had over the years, but the fact that he's straddled the folk and the country and the pop and the rock styles in a way that I don't know that anybody else has except Dylan himself.
Absolutely. And he's just written such an immense body of work as well. I mean, I don't know exactly how many songs he's written. I think it's well over 400, but I know there's been at least 250 that have been published. And the body of work is just immense. In fact, I was only reading the other day a book of poetry from somebody. I bought this online from somewhere in America, I Wish You Good Spaces, which is came out in 1977, so that they could actually add to this and probably triple the size of it. But I Wish You Good Spaces by Gordon Lightfoot, edited by Suzanne Paulus Schutz. I hope I pronounced the name correctly. And, you know, it's just poetry. It's just they've taken what they thought were the best pieces from his songs at that time, and they've put them into this book, and they've called it a book of poetry. And it's just amazing.
Well, I mean, I think maybe the greatest tribute is that the lyrics stand as poems. I mean, obviously, when you have the music added to them, you get a completely different synthesis and you get an entirely new, more beautiful creation. But if all he had done was just to write the lyrics, I mean, that would have been enough of an artistic impact. That's how good a writer he is.
Absolutely. He has an amazing way with words. I find what I like about his writing so much is that he has this actual brevity of words, but he just nails it every time. But he also leaves space for the listener to sort of try and connect the dots and make up their own mind as to what he is really on about, what he's really saying. You know, at first look, it might be seem quite obvious, and I guess we're going to go on to discuss this later on with Dreamland, but looking at all his songs and reading a lot of his lyrics now, he does leave room for the reader to go in various directions.
He's unbelievably skilled in that he doesn't tell the whole story. I mean, he's not a storyteller in the sense that he gives the beginning, middle, and end. He is, I mean, to use another quotation from his lyrics, he's a painter passing through, meaning that he's giving you a picture and he's letting you make up what you want to of it, or make whatever conclusions you want with the work that he's doing. Before we get into Dreamland, I wanted to ask you, have you seen Lightfoot in concert? What was the experience like? Did you see him in Australia or another place?
Well, yes, look, I have seen him in concert, but I had to travel to America to do it. His one and only tour of Australia was in September 1974, and he did come to Melbourne, and I was living in Melbourne at the time, but would you believe it, that 2 week period that he was touring both Australia and New Zealand, I was trying to move from Melbourne to Canberra. I had another life and a different job altogether. And so I missed him and I always deeply regretted that. So in 2001, I wrote to his management team and I said, look, I'm coming across to America. I want to see a Gordon Lightfoot concert. And the concert we chose was one in Anaheim at Sun Theatre, just out of Anaheim. So my wife and I were going to make a bit of a holiday out of it. We're going to go to Disneyland and do all those sorts of things as well. And I said, but I'm not coming to the concert. This is what I said to Barry Harvey or to his agent in LA, I forget who it was, unless I can meet him after the show. I'm not going to travel all this way unless I can actually get to meet him.
Sure.
So they said, oh, that'll be all right. A few weeks passed by and they said, look, why don't you just turn up at the box office at 3 o'clock on the Saturday afternoon and there'll be a little package there waiting for you. So I said to my wife, yeah, well, I'll believe this when it happens. And of course, we did. We'd been to Disneyland in the morning. We turned up 3 o'clock in the afternoon to Sun Theatre box office, and there was this package waiting for me, which was a VIP passes into the VIP room after the show. Yeah, we went to the show, and Sun Theatre was packed. Mm-hmm. I think it had a capacity of about 2,500-3,000 people, all ages there, from teenagers right through to people in the 90s to lots of folks like me and my age at the time. And then after the show, we went into the VIP room, and about 10 past midnight, he came out. He talked to some of his minders and a few other people, nodded to some others, and then I think it was Rick Haynes pointed him in my direction. And I couldn't believe it. My wife and I were on our own. We're standing about 30 meters away or 30 yards away across the other side of the room, and he started to make a beeline for us.
Wow.
And I thought, my heart started pounding. My God, I'm going to meet God and Lightfoot. And would you believe, from about 5 yards out, he put out his hand, and I'll never forget this. He said, "Hi, I'm God and Lightfoot. I believe you want to speak with me."
Oh, wow. Yeah. Talk about a lack of pretense. I mean, that is just so great. I mean, I will probably never get that chance, but I can imagine, you said your heart stopped beating. I think mine would probably jump out of my chest if I had the chance to do that.
Well, it was quite amazing. It was a really surreal experience, Mike. Talking about your heart jumping out of your chest, I can remember when he said, "Hi, I'm God and Lightfoot, I believe you want to speak with me." I think my mouth went up and down in the same spot for about 20 seconds before anything came out. I was so nervous, I couldn't even remember my own name. And all he wanted to do, getting back to the tour in 74, all he wanted to do was talk about what a fabulous time he had in Australia during the tour. And all I wanted to do was to talk him into coming back down again.
And he hasn't done that since.
Well, I did talk him into it. But would you believe, a year later, he got very, very ill, as you know, with that aortic aneurysm that he had that nearly killed him and sidelined him for about 2.5 years. And apparently, on doctor's advice, they said that he really shouldn't undertake any really, really long trips for a long time. And you can't get much further away than Australia. So unfortunately, it never happened.
Well, that's all the time we have for Here in the Public Feed. If you'd like to hear the rest of this conversation, along with all of our other extended and bonus episodes, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. You can see the show notes for details.